have a list, have anyone here to reference the end of the line. So we're gonna just take the ARs and the order. We'll call this meeting to order. Please turn off or mute all electronic devices. Ms. Boston, Ms. Krieger are on the phone. Dr. Wright, would you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Dr. Burman? Ms. Krieger?
Here.
Ms. Frost?
Here.
Dr. Heinrich? Dr. James?
Here.
Mr. Lohe?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
And Dr. Wright is here. We do have quorum.
Then let us proceed. We'll start with the initial investigative reviews. And at the top, number one, case number 2164. And Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Sure. Case 2164, the complainant is Naomi Estrada. The respondent is Caitlin Walker, DVM. On September 25th, 2020, Apollo, a six-month-old male pit bull, was presented to respondent for a neuter procedure. The dog was examined, pre-medicated for surgery, and placed in a kennel. When the dog was brought back to the treatment area to be anesthetized, staff noticed the dog was limping. Therefore, respondent re-examined the dog. Due to swelling and discomfort of the left cycle, respondent postponed the neuter procedure. Complainant arrived to pick up the dog. Respondent explained the dog's injury, made recommendations, and the dog is discharged with an anti-inflammatory. On September 29, 2020, respondent rechecked the dog. The left cycle was unstable and respondent recommended sedated radiographs. The premises offered to pay for initial diagnostics which were performed by Midwestern University's companion animal clinic. Radiographs revealed that the dog had a partial tibial tuberosity and motion fracture. After discussion of options, complainant chose to have the dog's leg casted instead of medical surgery performed. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act has occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue of no violation. And the motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no respondent. Is there still monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Thank you. So this is a really terrible case, just because it is really hard to say when it happened, how it happened, because there was really nobody that saw, you know, an event happen. It seems like, at least from the records and what I could get from what was presented, that there was communication up front, that the recommendations, you know, that the practice made, you know, the doctor made were found. So again, I mean, I'm really open to the rest of the board's input, but I'll make a motion, and I agree with the investigative committee to dismiss with no violation.
We have a motion on the floor.
Second.
Motion on the floor, a second, to dismiss case 2164. Is there any further discussion?
I mean, I agree. There's no way of knowing when this happened, where it happened, and how it happened. Like, there's just not enough information to say that the clinic was at fault. And if an injury did happen in the clinic and they didn't do anything to cause it, I still don't even see how they're at fault. So.
Yeah.
I don't really
see enough here to say the doctor did anything
wrong. Agreed.
I'll agree with that. The dog injured
itself. An accident does not mean negligence.
All right, so motion on the floor is to dismiss 2164. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes, and that case is dismissed. Next up is 2165. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2165, the complainant is Bethlaw Smikov, and the respondent is Matthew Haber, DVM. On October 12, 2020, a female, a 2-year-old male Yorkshire Terrier was presented to respondent for a certificate to journal. Travel would take place in 2 days. Complainant had a pet passport but wanted a health certificate as he had obtained information that one was required. He had also specifically wanted the dog to be vaccinated with his Norovac vaccine. Respondent disagreed with the requirements that complainant stated was needed. He felt that the pet passport would be sufficient and the health certificate for international travel would not be able to be endorsed by APHIS BIS by the time of travel. The dog was vaccinated and the pet passport was updated. Complainant became upset, did not believe that his dog was vaccinated, and felt respondent and was incompetent regarding his knowledge of health certificate. At this point, respondent felt it was best that his supervising veterinarian staff assist the pet owner. The committee concluded that no violation of the Veterans Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Do we have no respondent of complaining to be monitoring? And Ms. Frost, you will lead again on this one.
Yeah, so I guess fortunately or unfortunately, I've done a lot of these health and veterinarian for the National Health Institute, so I feel like I've run into these situations before, and I will say it's definitely a veterinarian nightmare because I don't know that a lot of veterinarians are super well-versed in international travel requirements for various countries, but I mean, this doctor definitely knew what he was talking about because there's no way he just could have endorsed that health certificate. So. And completing it properly takes time, and it would have had to have been charged for it. I think probably would not have resulted in a better situation here. You watched the video of the dog getting vaccinated, so I don't understand how I felt like that wasn't his dog. It is a really not a great situation, but I don't know that the practice could have done anything better. And trying to get an international health certificate 2 days prior to travel just would never work. And then the type of vaccine, that's super confusing, or excuse me, the manufacturer request, I thought that was super odd, but yeah, I could not find anything that was a violation. I think the practice actually handled it really well, the doctor reviewing himself from the situation, so clearly that wasn't going well. I think it's the choice as far as communication, so I don't even know if it's anything, but so I would agree with the MSBA and make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
And motion on the floor is second to dismiss 2165. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, she was too fast for me there. I was going to second that too. Yeah, the complainant is completely in the wrong in this. I just want to put that out there. They were making unreasonable demands. They didn't know what the laws were requiring. The passports, the health certificates. The complainant just is making ridiculous demands. And a veterinarian does not have to acquiesce to sign all these stupid forms that are not useful. So I just wanted to put it out there. The complainant is absolutely incorrect in this, and I definitely third that motion.
Since you added that, I would say that I put my notes in all caps with an exclamation point the word frivolous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, the motion on the floor is to dismiss. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2165 is dismissed. Next up is 2167.
Case 2167, the complainant is Cindy Morris, the respondent is Jessica Peterson, DVM. On October 21st, 2020, Fergus, also known as Quimby, a one-year-old male Australian cattle dog, was presented to respondent for an exam and vaccines. The dog was vaccinated. Respondent completed the rabies vaccine certificate and indicated erroneously on the certificate that the dog was neutered. On October 24th, 2020, complainant adopted the dog. The adoption paperwork indicated the dog was neutered. On December 3rd, 2020, the dog was neutered by Indian Family Animal Hospital. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
And we have no respondent, no complainant, nobody monitoring, and Dr. James is the lead.
So, I mean, it clearly looks like there was a mistake as far as the documentation on the rabies certificate, but really in light of reviewing the whole case, the medical records were accurate. Everything that was done was done correctly. I think it was easily resolved as far as when the dog actually went to a veterinarian, it was found that it still needed to be neutered and the dog needed to be neutered on it fully.
So I really don't find anything here outside of a mistake that happened on the health certificate to say that this fell below our practice after rules. So I support the investigative committee findings of no violations of the practice after.
Second.
A motion on the floor, a second to dismiss 2167. Any further discussion?
I mean, as far as the rating certificate goes, usually your client care team is choosing a dropdown, right? It'll say male or castrated. And I mean, the veterinarian may not have even seen that because that was computer generated. So the veterinarian would have only entered in what they actually did, which was written into the rating. So I don't know how, you know, the veterinarian would have falsified records according to, you know, the complaint.
Noted, and from what I saw, the rescue did not present the dog to be neutered. It was just there to get the rabies and a chip. And that's what I got. So, and then, how can you try to blame somebody else if you can't see with your own two eyes that it's not neutered?
Oh, there's two things I want. Yeah, I mean, it's a typographical error. It's just, there's no health problem to the animal. There's nothing. It was one little letter that was either there or missing, depending on how it says it. I mean, and then whatever it's going to be, but there's nothing that actually happened to the animal because of this. They got neutered, everything's done. It was a typographical error. Was it an error? Yeah. That kind of stuff happens. Thank you. It wasn't a big error.
Yeah, and they go and run through it and fix it. And
yeah.
But I just don't see those things are going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, so the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2167. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. 2167 is dismissed. Next up is 2169 and 2170. Tracy, would you read this summary?
Yes. Case 2169, the complainant is Phillies and Kelly Koosh, and 2170. Is the same complainant. The respondent in 2169 is Naomi Yamanda, DVM, and 2170 is Gloria Alternary, DVM. On November 29th, 2020, Daisy, a 2-month-old female Australian Shepherd, was presented to Dr. Yamada due to lameness. The dog was evaluated and discharged with pain medication. The following day, the dog was evaluated at Parkway Animal Clinic. The dog was discharged with an antibiotic after an abscess was found. On December 2nd, 2020, the dog was presented to Parkway Animal Clinic for lethargy, vomiting, and diarrhea. The dog was tested positive for Parvo and outpatient treatment was provided. The following day, the dog was brought to Parkway Animal Clinic for some treatment, demonstration, and was discharged. Later that evening, due to the dog's declining condition, she was presented to an emergency facility where she passed away. And the committee concluded that no violation in the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0. On 2170, the summary is the same, except for that the respondent, Gloria Alderman DVM, was the responsible veterinarian for the premises at the time of the evaluation of the puppy. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was also moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, so we have no respondents in either case, no complainants in either case, and nobody monitoring either case. Let's start with 2169 and then do 2170, and Dr. Wright, you're going to lead through this.
All right, thank you. So after going through and reading everything here, I agree with the committee on this. I don't see how we can fault the veterinarian here. Unfortunately, with an infectious disease like this, and a very contagious infectious disease, things are going to happen. You can't trace back where this was actually given, or where it's actually gotten from. Was it from the hospital? Because they've seen parvo patients before? Maybe it was from somewhere else out in the world. Maybe. The dog had a vaccine before. Do a record reader. Was that vaccine given correctly? Was it stored correctly? Was it administered erroneously was sitting on a shelf for about a while, got worn, was shipped in from an online store. And there's so many different questions, and we can't blame the veterinarian for this. It's an unfortunate situation, but infectious diseases are out there. It's going to happen. So going through this, I didn't see any violations of the Practice Act from what I could find, so I make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2169. There's no violation. Is there any further discussion?
One thing I'd add to the comments is that, I mean, in reading through the protocols of the practice and how they handle, if they have an infectious disease, they have one team that works with it, they have PPE, like, it wasn't like this was taken without thought. You know what I mean? Like, they have protocols in place to prevent infectious disease from transferring in the hospital, more so than what I've seen in other facilities. So I would actually, from looking at it, it looks like they did everything right.
And then,
I think the problem was they were moving on to this 3-day incubation period, and that's not, it's not 3 days. There's a range of incubation. And that was, I thought, a problem, just because that's what they're hanging on to.
Yeah, because we only had about, what, 5 days? So it could have been that degree. And one vaccine and a puppy, I think we all know they need three. Mm-hmm. Because you got to keep doing it, keep boosting it until the maternal antibodies run off.
And like I said, where are your maternal antibodies?
Well, because they don't make a vaccine that will overcome those maternal antibodies.
Well, I always have to wonder, unfortunately, when I see we are given vaccines, the first thing I think every single time is, was this given correctly? I mean, the manufacturers don't offer warranties on them for a reason. We can't control that chain of custody at that point. So like I said, was the mother vaccinated with an erroneous vaccine that she passed on the maternal antibodies? It's always a possibility. I mean, there's so many questions, but I agree with you.
All right, so the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2169. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes. 2169 is dismissed. Next is 2170.
Second verse, same as the verse. I mean, it's the same information basically, except for this is the premise holder, so I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this one of violation.
Second.
And we have a second. Motion on the floor is to dismiss 2170. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2170 is dismissed.
We set an eyes on the phone. Mm-hmm.
All right, next up is free pack 2170 or 2171, 2172, 2173. Tracy, the summaries are the same for all three, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
All right, so let's combine the summary part of it and then we'll take them individually after that.
Okay. Case 2171, the complainant is Mark Coldemeyer, MD, the respondent is Rachel Levin, DVM. Case 2172, the complainant is the same, the respondent is Christine Warrior, DVM. And case 2173, the complainant is the same, and the respondent is CR Andrea, DVM. On May 14, 2020, Lightfoot, a 3-year-old paint gelding, was presented to Dr. Lippman on referral due to signs of colic that was unresponsive to treatment. The horse was hospitalized for supportive care and possible surgery to help improve. The next morning, Dr. Coyer performed surgery on the horse due to returning pain. Surgery was performed and the horse recovered uneventfully. The horse remained hospitalized for monitoring and supportive care for the next several days. On May 19, 2020, the horse was discharged. Complainant and his trainer loaded up the horse trailer to travel back to Prescott. During the trip home, blood was noticed on the side of the trailer. Complainant pulled over, opened up the trailer, and found the horse dead with wound dehiscence and evisceration of bowel and omentum. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. And the motion was approved with a vote of 4-0. The committee also recommended case 2172 be dismissed with no violation. in case 2173, the motion was also made for that case to be dismissed with no violation.
All right, so we have no respondents, no complainants, and still monitoring all three.
Correct.
And Dr. James, you are the lead on these three. Let's take, make our motions one at a time.
So we'll start with 2171. So this was the doctor that actually saw the horse when it came in, did the initial treatment, the colic diagnosis and initial diagnosis and treatment. I don't see anything in here that would have been done in violation of our practice act or rules. Everything looks to a follow normal protocol. The horse was then transferred for surgery to another doctor, but this doctor stayed involved and was actually involved in post-op as well. But again, I don't see anything in there that would have fallen below our standard of care. So I would actually make a motion that we support the IC findings of the violations of our practice act or rules.
It's an unfortunate situation, but again, yeah, I don't see any errors from the doctor's part that could constitute a best statute violation, so I'll second that.
All right, so the motion on the floor is second to dismiss 2171. Any further discussion? I guess to read the factor that helped me to sign this was the narcolepsy. I mean, that, I don't know what else could happen. Now, I also, I pulled the trigger, so I kind of find it a little hard. It really didn't feel something, but if we're better drivers than others, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that happens, but.
I guess it's true, but if it's narcolepsy, it would just go down. We're not thrashing. They might not feel that, so that would support
but the status would say they thrashed after you went down.
Yeah, true.
So.
It's hard to add that what happened. Yeah. I mean, it's a horrible situation. Yeah. I can't even imagine being the one pulling that trailer and finding that. Like, that would be terrifying, but I can't even say we're going to have surgery that this was related, because it's days after that this horse was discharged to go home. I mean,
and everything looked good. I mean, they examined the wound. Everybody looked at it. So.
I mean, it's a freak situation, but I just don't know that anything was done wrong.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you can't place blame. It's an unfortunate thing that happens in life, and this is, which I can't find blame.
Yeah, I mean, you would think if they knew the horse had narcolepsy, I mean, you wouldn't expect this to happen. I mean, nobody expected this, but maybe if you have to move an animal like that, you know they have that problem. One, I'd be a little concerned about the right hand, but two, if you had to trigger it somewhere, wouldn't you try to rig up the sling or something? Because you know it could happen. But, you know. I mean, well, the camera, you'd have pulled over quicker, but you wouldn't save the horse.
No.
But if you had a sling or something,
yeah,
where it could fall,
yeah.
I mean, that's just the way I
think it probably depends on how often these episodes are occurring. We don't really know that. Like, does it happen on a year, or does it happen?
Yeah, but if you spend that much money, how much risk are you going to take that it's going to happen at the wrong time? I don't know.
It's a lot of hindsight, but it's a hard situation, but
nobody saw it coming. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All right. So the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2171. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2171 is dismissed.
Before you finish your sentence, she's like, nope.
No more discussion.
More discussion. No.
Hey, so we're on 2172.
So 2172 is same case, same discussion. It's involving the surgeon who actually did the procedure. And again, I mean, the procedure was done. It recovered uneventfully. The days post-op were all normal. Like, I mean, they caught the fact that the
horse had a little bit of fever, they were treating that, they were very responsive to what was going on in his horse, and I just don't see where anything was done surgically that would have caused this. Outside of the fact that I'm gonna surgery for the horse has surgery.
So your motion is?
So my motion is to dismiss this case with no violations.
Second.
And motion on the floor, second to dismiss 2172. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes, 2172 is dismissed. Next up is 2173.
So this case is involving the doctor that had come in the night before surgery, evaluated the horse and determined that surgery was not needed at that time. You know, it's hard for me, I don't do this on a regular basis, so whether surgery was needed then or would have been beneficial then, I don't really know, but what I would say is the horse ultimately went to surgery the next day and it didn't seem like there were any complications due to delaying the procedure. So, you know, I can't say that that was a bad judgment call. I feel like it was made with, you know, she went in, she evaluated it, she didn't think it needed to happen right then and there. So I would make the motion that we don't find any violations of our practice act or rules in 2173.
Second.
And second, any further discussion?
I'd just like to commend the investigative committee because they looked at everything, including driving conditions, possible other causes. So they did a great job.
They were hard.
Any other discussion? All right, the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2173. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes, 2173 is dismissed. Next up is 2174. Receiving jurisdiction.
Yes, case 2174, the respondent is Stephanie Strotman, DBM, the complainant is Lacey Villegas. On November 16, 2020, Priscilla, a 9.5-year-old female chihuahua, was presented to the respondent for a recheck for continued coughing. Radiographs were performed and revealed generalized cardiomegaly, pulmonary edema, and tracheal narrowing. Respondent recommended treating the dog with Vetmin, Lasix, and Sirvedion. She warned complainant that the dog could go into respiratory distress quickly due to the dog's condition. The dog was discharged. Complainant was concerned with the dog's condition and labored greatly as she had the premises. Later that day, the dog passed away. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
We have no respondent, no complainant, and Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Correct.
And Dr. Wright, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. Again, another one of these unfortunate situation cases. I mean, losing a patient is always a hard thing, but unfortunately with congestive heart failure, it's a very unpredictable disease. I have many patients that are on medications and respond well and are stable for years in some cases, and I have some that just do not respond to medications at all. You just can't tell, unfortunately, until you see how they do. But I don't see issues with the medications here and all there. Again, could other things be done in the case? There's always looking back and then you kind of learn and see what else can be done, but there's only certain options we have, and the Vetmed and the Lasix are great medications for, the mainstay medications for heart failure. So it's unfortunate the patient didn't respond, but I don't see that as a fault of the veterinarian. So I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
The motion on the floor is second to dismiss case 2174. Is there any further discussion? I guess I would add in this case, we really don't know how long this condition was going on before it was presented to this veterinarian. So, but without knowing that, can he even say the medication didn't work? Maybe it did have time.
True.
I just think it was too little, too late. All right, any further discussion on 2174? Seeing none, a motion on the floor is to dismiss. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2174 is dismissed. Next up is 2175. This is a Chris Sonny, please.
Yes. Case 2175, the complainant is Jennifer Gulliver. The respondent is Thomas L. Miller, DBM. On February 25th, 2020, Cooper, 18-year-old male Cavalier King Charles Vandal, was presented to respondent for evaluation. Doc had a history of heart disease and poor oral health. Previous veterinarians were reluctant to anesthetize the dog for a dental due to heart health concerns. Respondent recommended a dental clean due to the severity of the dog's dental disease. Complainant declined pre-surgical diagnostics, including blood work and an echocardiogram. On March 3rd, 2020, the dog was presented to respondent for a dental clean. Respondent extracted multiple diseased teeth, and the dog was recovered. The dog returned to respondent over the next 2 weeks for rechecks and treatment. On March 18th, 2020, the dog was humanely euthanized due to continuing to do poorly after the dental procedure. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
In this case, we have no respondent, no complaint, and this is full monitoring?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Wright, you're the lead man on this.
Yes, thank you. Again, I keep saying it's another unfortunate case. This is unfortunate for many, many reasons, but it's really sad because with this veterinarian, this is almost a damn-if-you-don't case. You have a older dog with just horrible dental disease with already heart conditions is going to potentially worsen those heart conditions with the infection. You go in and try and deal with the teeth that have just gotten horrible over the years for whatever reason. And you potentially are putting the heart at risk because the anesthesia, the pre-anesthetic workups were declined, which may or may not have changed anything. It's hard to say, but who knows? But this is just one of those difficult situations, and one of the reasons why I tell people all the time, start dental care early. I don't want to do it when they're at the end of their life, when there's other health conditions going on. And this is a hard situation as a veterinarian to be like, I wish I could have done something years ago, but now we're having to deal with it now, and things are going to happen. So while it's unfortunate, while it's sad for all parties around, I don't see a violation of the Practice Act in this case. So I make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
I have a motion on the floor, a second to dismiss case 2175. Is there any further discussion?
I would just add that you have to consider the amount of pain that this dog has been in from those teeth. So not going to dental, to me, doesn't seem like a viable option. And you've got this dog that's got infected and teeth falling out of its mouth, and that has to be painful, regardless of the long-term damage he's doing to other organs. It's painful, and I mean, part of our job is to relieve pain and suffering, and I just feel like there wasn't really a great option.
Yeah, every single bite of food, every single drink of water, panting, licking your lips, anything hurts. That's just the life of pain in that point of the mouth is that bad.
And how bad does it have to be to smell it across the room?
Yeah,
these are the hard kid cases because, like I said, dental care is something we need to start early. Once the disease is there, once the problems occur, all I can do is try and fix it as best as possible. And if I can prevent it, that's going to make lives a lot easier all around. If I can only get that word out to people, do dental care early.
Dr. Wright, how long do you think this animal was untreated dentally, if you had to approximate? How many years?
At
19 extractions.
Yeah, I've seen cases that have never had a dental clean in their lives that present like this. So, and I usually start dental cleans around 2.5 to 3 years of age, sometimes even earlier. Yeah.
Thank you.
I can go fast, so you can do dental on dogs, bring it early and have it, then you go in and have a dental, and all of a sudden you're pulling all these teeth, and you're like, what the heck happened? Like, I think that can happen. So, I'm not saying, I wouldn't say that. Didn't do anything. I just say at this point in time, the last few doctors that have seen the dog didn't want to do it because of the heart disease, so that probably allowed it to get worse. And then we were in this situation.
And the pulse therapy?
Yeah, antibody pulse therapy, that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, so I tend to agree with the respondent, that can just contribute to resistant bacteria.
I mean, that's in the news every single day.
I mean, especially if you're using the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you either kill it or you use something else to kill it. Right? I mean, I'm just off and on, off and on, off and on.
Yeah, washing the rest of the cart.
Yeah, I mean, that is not judicious use of antibiotics by any means. All right, so motion on the floor is to dismiss 2175. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. And 2175 is dismissed. Next up is 2176. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2176, the complainant is Julie Cotton. The respondent is Brian Concrete, EPM. On December 11, 2020, Dallas, a 12-year-old female home recruiter was presented to First Vet Emergency Center by a Petco groomer due to limping after a fall. Respondent evaluated the dog and suspected a fractured right front leg, which radiographs confirmed. Due to the dog's condition and difficult recovery, the complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue as a violation. The motion was approved with the vote of 3-0.
So we have no respondent, no complainant, and Mr. Stoll, one attorney?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Frost, you're the lead.
Yes, so, seeing the complaint, I think the biggest complaint and concern was that the dog was essentially neglected and not cared for by the practice, based on the presentation time of 5:04 p.m. And so, you know, Dallas was triaged according to the record. And then the doctor that came on shift, so at 7 p.m. was the one that's doing the examination, you know, to basically make recommendations to the owner. And I was super impressed with that amount of time passing, mostly because I've heard of ERs in the valley having 6 to 8 hour wait time after triage for pets that aren't critical. And not that that Dallas didn't need medical care at all. Dallas may not have been the most critical patient, unfortunately, or fortunately, but it looks like the veterinarian made the recommendations that should have been made. I know that the complaint was also that there were jumping right to euthanasia, but again, I don't see that in at least what I'm reading. So, for an incredibly emotional, it's a terrible accident. The veterinarian had nothing to do with how this happened and why it happened. We don't often give dogs water while they're waiting because of, you know, medication being to give and risks of aspiration. So, anyway, I agree with the investigative committee. I cannot find anything that would be a violation, so I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion of floor and a second to dismiss case 2176. Any further discussion?
I'm going to have to take the owner's perception of the dog being a pain. It's probably true. The dog just scratched its leg. It probably was a pain, but that has nothing to do with the veterinarian or were they involved in the incident that occurred. So I don't know why I'm especially against the veterinarian.
So when I got toward the end, I was totally confused. Why are you going after the veterinarian when it happened at Petco? Why aren't you going after those guys? See what the heck happened there, but then you get down to the radiologist report, the third party that looked at it, and where there's obvious signs of cancers there, that leg was going to break somehow, some way, soon. So there was an underlying, undiagnosed, unknown disease going on that contributed to that fracture. And then I kind of, okay, well that kind of makes sense. But otherwise, you're thinking, well, there's some kind of animal abuse going on at How else would you get a spiral fracture?
Well, they described what happened in the medical statement as far as the dog kind of twisted and getting it up, getting her out of the crate. So I could, and I mean, I could see how that would have happened, especially knowing that the dog had an underlying condition. But Petco immediately took her to the veterinarian, agreed to pay all the charges. Like, I'm just sitting here going, I don't understand. I mean, it's an unfortunate situation, just like every case we've heard today, but I just don't see how the doctors involved in this at all.
All right, so our motion on the floor is to dismiss 2176. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes, and that case is dismissed. Next up is 2177. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2177, the complainant is Ronald Ross, the respondent is Robert Evans, DVM. On August 5th, 2020, Dozer, an 11-month-old male Rottweiler, was presented to respondent for a negative procedure. The procedure was performed when the dog was discharged later that day. Complainant came into contact with respondent's premises regarding the healing of the dog's incision and sent photos. Staff reminded complainant to place an elastic collar on the dog to keep the dog from licking the incision. On August 4th, 2020, complainant sent pictures of a lesion near the incision site that appeared irritated. Complainant was advised that the tattoo score line, which appeared that the dog had been licking. The complainant expressed concerns that he was not made aware of or authorized the dog to be tattooed. On December 10th, 2020, the dog was presented to Alta Sierra Vet Hospital to have the tattoo removed at complainant's request due to the continued issues. The committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
All right, so this one we have no respondent, no complaint, and nobody monitoring. And Dr. James, you believe on this one?
Yeah, so this dog was presented to the clinic, and I think this one is probably more of a low-cost senior type facility based on what they do. And from what I can tell, everything with the castration went fine, the monitoring, the medical records, everything was documented. The dog was tattooed, which is fairly typical for shelters and railways they do their hospitals to do. I always think that if it's on an old animal, getting at least alerting them to the fact that you're going to do it is a good idea, but I don't also think that anything there falls below our standard of care. We do a ton of tattoos. I've never actually seen a dog react to a tattoo, and I'm not even sure that in this case that's what it was, because this was bilateral, so I can't even say it was the tattoo. I think the dog had a complication and definitely was irritated by something, maybe the shaving, maybe something like that, but I don't see anything that was a violation of our practice act rules. So I would make a motion that we support the investigative committee findings and find the violations.
Second.
So the motion on the floor and second to dismiss case 2177. Is there any further discussion? I wanted to. I guess you answered one question I had. How common is that? I've never ever seen a spayed or neutered animal tattooed.
It's 100% of our dogs are tattooed because of, and we do 50 a day. But what I would say is that's very typical for a shelter or a high volume spay neuter practice that does a lot of feral cats. Things are going back out into the community, yeah. So that you know that these animals are sterilized. I don't think it's that common in private practice. I don't think you do them.
One of my associates that's no longer there actually started us doing it at the hospital. So we ask everybody. Some clients decline, but most accept it. I just put a little dot in the incision line. So I mean, it's a very simple thing, but it's becoming more popular.
So where is, I can't see it in this picture. I can't see a tattoo in any picture.
And it's,
I mean, is it a shape, a number?
Usually they draw like a line and it's to the side of the incision. it's, you're not gonna recommend, in fact, sometimes after years, it's, you don't really look for it. I mean, sometimes it's still hard to go, is that a tattoo mark? You know, like, it can almost look like a scar. It's not something that you're gonna be like, oh, I got a tattoo.
Easier ways to, like, just take a notch out of the ear or something, then you can just look.
Yeah, but who wants their pet to have a notch out of the ear? I mean, that's one thing for feral cats.
Well, not your pet, but feral one, whatever, spayed.
These are dogs, and like, these are pets, I don't think anyone would want their ear notched. A tattoo's.
I wouldn't know what that line is doing there either.
You wouldn't see it unless you were investigating the underneath of the dog and its private areas, let me put it. It wouldn't be overly obvious.
It's not something normal people should see, but we're not.
We're more observant than that. All right. So, it sounded like I scratched out dismiss and put a letter of concern because it should form up front. I mean, if it's private, I can understand shelter, like you said, feral animals, and you turn it back out, something. You just do it as a matter of fact, but.
I think, I mean, it's one of the things that probably should be asked every time, but can I find a fault for it not being asked? No, because I kind of lump that in with surgical technique.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, am I going to fault someone for using a 15 blade instead of a 10 blade, or vice versa, or this kind of suture, or that kind of suture, yeah. That's not something I consult with my client over, so I mean, yeah, I think something like this cosmetic should be talked to about it, but it's also an insignificant thing, so it's hard to find a violation, but it would be nice, kind of the communications thing that we always talk about, communications, fix most issues. It should just be mentioned. We just have a little form that people sign when they're signing the paperwork saying, do you want it or no? All done.
Part of it's too education, like, mm-hmm. even if you're not really asking for permission, you should be telling them what it's there for,
yeah.
so that they know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, I think it could, the communication on that could have been better, but I don't think it's necessarily a violation.
So
the fact that the inflammation was on both sides of the incision would tend to indicate that it wasn't from the tattoo, correct?
Yeah, I look at it like a much more localized infection. If there, I mean, from a tattoo complication, I think of infection.
Yeah.
So it'd be a very localized thing.
Okay.
And there's a high probability the owner was not following the discharge instructions. Right? I mean, he didn't want to use his e-collar. Oh, they're very obedient, they won't like each other. Okay.
Sure. So the intact brother and sister won't have puppies.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss 2177. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And that motion passes. 2177 is dismissed.